We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Good morning and welcome to the morning briefing for Tuesday, September 12th, 2017. I'm your host, Eric Dame. Jake Hughes is your producer. And as always, another great show is on its way to you. Coming up, we'll speak to our VA reporter, Jonathan Kopanger, about some new grants coming from the department that aim to address homelessness among the veteran population. Later, Justin from Hill Vets will join us live in studio, and we'll talk about what he saw down in Houston and what he sees coming down the road on Capitol Hill that will affect us in the veteran community. And then, the former National Commander of Disabled American Veterans, Dave Riley. He's going to call in live from Iowa, where he's taking part in the Veterans Tee Tournament. What is the Tee Tournament? It's a golf tournament. A golf tournament. Wow, I had trouble saying that word. For disabled vets. Vets like Dave, who is in fact a quadruple amputee, but nonetheless, will be hitting the links this week. So a full show on the way. And it all kicks off now with our reporter, Matt Sainsing. He's going to tell us about a vet in Tennessee who found a pretty interesting way to help out people affected by Hurricane Irma. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm doing okay. You know, it's Tuesday, so it's not Monday. It's got that going for it. But something that this veteran has going for him is that he, because of his current job, had a unique way that he was going to be able to help out people from down in Florida affected by the hurricane. What can you tell us about it?
So the Budgetel Inn and Suites, located in Chattanooga, Tennessee, right off exit 1 off I-75, a major artery, is offering free stays to anyone that is evacuating because of Hurricane Irma. Now, the Casey Steinman is an Air Force veteran who manages the hotel. And the Budgetel Inn and Suites, again, located in Chattanooga, Tennessee, right off exit 1 I-75, has been under renovation for about a year. And so Casey, who manages the hotel, as well as the owners, got together with the fire marshal to say, can we open this? You know, we have our linens, we have all the structural things are finished. We just have to do a few touch-ups with paint. And the fire marshal said, you know what? Sure, you can open for business. Feel free to charge people to stay here. And Casey, as well as the owners of the hotel, said, no, we're going to do this for free. We're going to do this not at all. Let's listen to Casey.
We met with the fire marshal and told him that we're on exit 1 and on I-75 in Chattanooga, just across the Georgia-Tennessee border. And we see people sleeping on the side of the interstate the past 2 days. So we got together with the fire marshal and told him that we'd like to help out if we could and put some people in here. And he agreed, and he was very supportive of it. So we opened up Saturday with volunteers only, and we've got about 350 people staying here.
All right, so 350 people staying at the hotel, and that's a significant number of people, Matt.
Absolutely, and it's 100% for free. Like I said, they opened 9 a.m. last Saturday and have been checking in people around the clock. Yesterday, Casey told me that he was in checking in people around the clock up till 3 a.m., getting a few hours of sleep, getting up at 7 a.m. to provide support for these people who are leaving Florida.
Fire marshal told us that we could charge the people. He came out and gave us a 7-day CO to open the property. Told us we were more than happy to charge people for it, but the ownership insisted that we do it for free. So we haven't charged anybody anything.
This is 100% community driven. Casey himself, an Air Force veteran who served 2 years between 1992 and 1994, working on B-1 and B-2 stealth bombers as an avionics technician, is only in Chattanooga, Tennessee since June. So even though he's fairly a new member of the community, he's becoming a leader.
Exit 1 here off I-75 North is at one point had the most hotel rooms in the entire state of Georgia or Tennessee. It's right at the I-75 exchange. So this is absolutely a main artery up and down the East Coast. So most of the traffic that we're getting is Southwest Florida from Naples up to Tampa and a little bit farther north. So it was a straight shot for them.
Now, Southwest Florida is the main part where Hurricane Irma went through Florida. Like, as I said, from Naples to Tampa, and I-75 goes right through there. So if anyone is finding a way out of Florida and needs to get to a hotel, if you can head on north on I-75 and get off at exit 1 outside Chattanooga and check to the Budgetel Inn and Suites. The address is 1410 North Mac Smith Road in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
You know, Matt, as we've seen the media coverage of this storm, a lot of people saying, oh, what a dud, this storm wasn't as bad as they said it was going to be. Those people are not living in the places that were affected by the storm. The Florida Keys were decimated, parts of Southwest Florida, as you mentioned, severely stricken. Even Jacksonville in the far northeast of Florida saw flooding the likes of which they had never seen in that city. So this is still, despite the fact that it may not have been the storm that it was projected to be, this was still a storm that's affected a ton of people, and it's great to hear about a veteran who's found this way to be able to help people out, and not only that, not making a buck off of them when he easily could.
Absolutely, and that's what makes the story so compelling is, as you say, you know, the storm might not have been as bad as some people had thought. However, there's still close to 2 million people in Florida still without power as of this morning, as entire infrastructure of power companies have been destroyed. It's going to take them a while to get back up. So if people get out of Florida and if they don't have any place to go because they either can't afford it or because if hotel rooms are just filling up, you know, you can head to the Budgetel Inn and Suites, and Casey Steinman, a U.S. Air Force veteran, is taking great steps, as well as the ownership of the hotel is to provide a much-needed refuge.
Just to put in perspective how bad this storm was, at one point up to 6 million homes, not people, homes, were without power. That is close to 2% of the United States population. 2 out of every 100 American homes was without power, and who knows how many people in those homes. So perhaps a significantly larger percentage of the population then too. But while it may not have been the storm that it was predicted to be, it was still plenty dangerous, and great to hear this story brought to us by our own Matt Sainsing about this veteran, this Air Force veteran up in Tennessee, helping to take care of his fellow Americans. You're listening to The Morning Briefing on CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com. Connecting Vets every day.
We are CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com. Connecting Vets every day.
Online and all over social media. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter at Connecting Vets.
We now welcome into the studio ConnectingVets.com's, dare I say, most fashionable man and our VA reporter, Jonathan Kopanger. Jonathan, good morning. How are you?
I am a fashion victim. I'm good. How about you?
Well, you're much more fashionable than like myself and Jay. Here we are wearing like band t-shirts, and you're always dressed to the nines, or at least the eights. I don't think you go lower than a 7.
I have t-shirts, and every once in a while I try to put them on, but I just can't. I don't know what it is. I just can't get it in my system to wear a t-shirt out to go to work. I don't know. Maybe I've just been going to work for too long. I don't get it. But I'm jealous of the fact that you two are so comfortable.
Hey, that's how you got to be. I don't wear t-shirts every day. Yesterday, I'm wearing a t-shirt of perhaps my favorite band, Tool, after our own Mac from the ConnectingVets.com team said that she didn't know who Tool was.
I know. I heard that. That's crazy.
I needed to represent Maynard, Danny, and the rest of the boys in Tool this morning. Maynard Keenan, lead singer of Tool, a lot of people don't know, a lot of people surprised to find, served in the United States Army.
And his other band, A Perfect Circle, was the first concert I went to with my husband.
I actually was listening to A Perfect Circle song on the way into work. It happened to come up on my phone as I was driving in, and it reminded me of the time that someone heard a Tool song and said, oh, that's the guy from A Perfect Circle. And I got angry. I was like, no. That's not the guy from A Perfect Circle. The guy from A Perfect Circle is the guy from Tool. He's also he has a third project called Pussifer. He's a very interesting guy and owns a vineyard out in Jerome, Arizona, I should say, a veteran who has certainly gone on to do some very interesting things. Problem is, he's very hard to get an interview with. I'd love to have him on the show. And they just performed. Tool did a concert in Alexandria, Virginia, not that long ago,
really?
Which is not that far from here. Yeah, back in like May, I think it was, May or June. But yeah, one of those guys who you wouldn't expect it when you hear the lyrics of his songs,
right?
When you hear him talk. But he served in the Army for, I believe, 4 years. He had actually planned to go to West Point. They were going to pay for him to go to West Point. And then he decided against that. So ended up having to stay enlisted after going through, I think he went through MAPS, the Military Academy Prep School, for a little bit, something like that. It's a very interesting story.
We'll have to start nagging him. Maybe we'll get him on.
Yeah, just keep sending him like emails to maynard@tool.com.
When does it go from nagging to harassment?
I don't know. But what I do know is that you are constantly bringing us good info from the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Yeah.
Now, Maynard James Keenan, myself, Jonathan Kopanger, Jake Hughes, none of us are homeless veterans,
right.
But there are quite a few homeless vets out there, and it sounds like the VA is doing something that's aiming to help those people out.
And the timing on this is really, really good because of there's going to be some homeless vets out of the hurricanes that have hit us. That's just, it's going to happen. There's over 2 million veterans that are in the path of both of these hurricanes, so something is going to go wrong. But the VA has been working on this program. They've had this program that I'm going to talk about. It's the Grant and Per Diem Program. It's been around since 1994, so this isn't a new program.
No, I was 15 years old when it came out.
$2 billion have been put into this program. But late last year, the VA decided that they wanted to do some tweaks to this. The way it had been in the past was you apply for this money, and then every year you get your money. Hmm. So that's all you have to do is apply. And there's a few, safeguards built in there, but nothing really like they have now. And it's just the way it was before. It was your company, you apply for these grants, and the VA would give you money to either build or fund a program for homeless veterans, and you provide beds. Well, now they've pulled that back, and they said, if you've applied for this before and you receive money, we're canceling all that, and you have to reapply.
Hmm.
Now, there was a little bit of screams and uproars about this because it was like, oh, we have to do this. We've been getting this money for so long. Well, then the VA added some extensions to this. So there's still an extension to this. They could reapply through the end of next year, I believe. So they're really giving them plenty of time to do this.
Right.
So while that's been going on, they decided to go ahead and push out the grant money for this year because they know that some of these places are going to need it.
Yeah, these storms have been, they've been strong, and they've hit veteran-heavy areas. Houston, the fourth largest city in the country, is going to have a large number of veterans. The state of Texas has a high percentage of our veterans, as does Florida, where Hurricane Irma just landed, as well as military bases down there. So these grants, are they set up predominantly for people who are like temporarily homeless, not the long-term homeless that you think about when you talk about homeless people and homeless vets? You think about maybe the guy wearing the Vietnam ball cap sitting out on the street with the cardboard sign. Is this aimed at them, aimed more at the temporary homeless who've just lost their homes in something like this, or a little bit from column A, a little bit from column B?
It's going to be the last one. It's aimed for everything. But the good thing that what the VA has done to this now, instead of just making it so that, okay, you have 2 years of a bed, this is the programs that are going to get this money have to prove that they are going to help make veterans stand on their own.
Yeah.
It's the way they want it done now is it's not just for beds. This is, you have to have programs in place as well to try to make independence the key. And that's what they're really pushing on this is veteran independence. So they want to make it so that all veterans who are homeless can get the leg up and then get on their feet and then deal with whatever issues they have after that.
And that's a significant thing. And also, it's a significant amount of money, which begs the question, what does all of the grant money go to? Because if you just gave that money directly to the veterans, they'd all be able to buy a home.
Right.
Everybody left homeless. It's a ton of money. So what does the grant money specifically go to?
Well, it's kind of split up into two things right now. $185 million goes to the 556 projects, and those are community-based projects. So that's a lot of money, but that's also a lot of projects. As $3 million of this goes specifically to 13 agencies that work with homeless veterans with special needs, and that includes women and chronic mental illness and people who have minor dependents.
Hmm.
So they're really kind of focusing on that too, which they hadn't done before, which I thought was pretty good because they're starting to see a little bit more of that. And then, so how this the grant money goes? Let's say that you applied for this grant and you want to build a home to help homeless veterans. The VA will give you the money, but you can only use 65% of that for construction. You have to come up with the other part of it on your own. So then the rest of that money goes to taking care of the programs, not paying for salaries. There's a different part of this for salaries, and that's the per diem side of it. For each veteran that you put into your home, and there's a lot of safeguards, and I could talk about those in a second. For each veteran you put into your home, the VA will pay you $45.79 per day. And that can go for salaries and things like that, but that's it. Then this is, I really like this part of it, because there's always got to be checks and balances when you're coming up with money. And these are some really good ones. If you get an award of this, you have to have a proper fiscal documentation. Now, if they, if the VA does it how I used to have to use my, when I would prove my documentation, then this is going to be really, really good, because I had to balance everything down to a penny. So hopefully that's the way it goes. I'm going to keep an eye on that. Also, if you have a home, you're inspected at least annually by the local medical center. And you have a liaison there at the medical center that oversights all the programs and monitors everything that you're going to do. And remember, all your programs have to do with independence. It's not just keeping you here. It's for getting the veterans who are in your home on their feet and out the door so they can take care of themselves.
Right.
So again, that's really, really good. The expenses are of the home are under complete monitoring from the VA as well. So there's really no way to hide anything that you're going to do, because that was something that I thought about. This was, for years, people have been getting this money and they haven't been able to, they haven't had to show anything for it really, except they have a bed.
Right.
And now they have to actually prove that they have these programs going on.
Hmm.
So those are some really good, you know, there's quarterly inspections. All the programs have to be checked out quarterly as well. There's some really good safeguards built into this. And the timing couldn't be better, because there's a lot of these organizations. I looked down the list. There's a lot in the South, and they are going to need this money.
Yeah. And again, the temporarily homeless. I mean, two separate issues. People who lose their home to a natural disaster, who, if they don't get assistance, could end up homeless for an extended period of time, versus those who are the long-term homeless. And there is, it's unfortunate, there's always going to be some percentage of people that are going to be homeless. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been that way for as long as humans have been around.
Right.
But what this does now is put some oversight on it, where if money is being given out to someone, that there is now, the VA is checking on exactly what that money is going to. You can't just be going down to the track and gambling it away or spending it all on booze or, you know, whatever people might have done with the money in the past. So I think that's a good thing when people look at more money and say, yeah, but where's that money going? Nobody knows where it's going. Now we will know where it's going.
Exactly. And I really, really like the fact that they looked at this program and said, this is a lot of money we've been putting in this. It's a great program, but it needs to be redone. Mm. You can't have something for 20 years and expect it to be, you know, the same as it was when you first started.
Right. I mean, times change, the needs change of the veteran community. The size of the veteran community has changed. It's actually smaller now than it was in years past. So you may have had more to deal with, but now, in addition to, you know, less to deal with, I suppose you could say, because there is a smaller number of veterans each and every day, particularly as those generations who fought in World War II and Korea are leaving us, there is a rising cost also associated with things. So, it may be counterintuitive to hear more money going to a program when there are fewer veterans who might be in need, but things have gotten more expensive and life has gotten more expensive over the years. There are things that you absolutely need to have a home, to be a productive member of society. The internet, for one.
Yeah.
If you don't have the internet, you're behind the eight ball already. So there are a lot of things that this money can go towards helping and addressing in concert with a lot of the other services that the VA provides, particularly when we're talking about the long-term homeless, things like mental health care.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to this money specifically is set aside for the people and for the homes, not for any mental health care that might go along with it or any other things like that.
Correct.
Right?
That's all done separately. And usually the VA will have their fingers in that to try to control how that's done, because they have the experience to actually do that.
Right. All right. So very interesting stuff coming from Jonathan Kopanger, our VA reporter. We do have some news coming in from Afghanistan that five U.S. troops were wounded after a suicide bomber drove a vehicle into a convoy outside of Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan yesterday. It's about 1 p.m. local time, so pretty early in the morning our time here. There are about 11,000 U.S. troops deployed to Afghanistan, and about 3,500 additional are set to be deployed soon. We are now over 2,000 U.S. troops being killed in Afghanistan since September 11th, 2001. Of course, yesterday, the anniversary of September 11th. Mm-hmm. Did you take in any of the anniversary programming that was on? Is essentially what it was, the ceremonies.
Because I was here. I mean, I watched some on the monitors here, but I chatted with my mother-in-law a little bit about it yesterday, just how weird it was.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say it like that. It sounds odd that I said how weird it was, but just that weird not knowing what was going on feeling, which you don't expect to have here in the United States.
It was a very strange day. I mean, it really was. And I remember, you know, as we mentioned yesterday, being on active duty, being on board the USS Saipan, but my ship actually was all out of the water. It was in dry docks. There wasn't anything we could do. Other ships in Norfolk started going out to see what they could do to help. The Saipan, the ship that I was on, was at the time the third largest hospital ship in the Navy. Mm. After the Comfort and the Mercy, the Saipan had the most hospital beds. What they would do is after the Marines were dropped off, it was an amphibious assault ship, so you'd have like 2,500 Marines on board, drop them off, and then their berthing area was converted into hospital beds in case casualties started coming in addition to the medical facilities. So that was our ship's secondary mission, and we were like, we should be going up there, but we couldn't. The boat's not in the water. It's having construction done on it. So it was, like you said, it was weird. It was a weird time for us after it happened, sitting there like, well, we should be doing something, but all we're doing is standing around the shipyard, guarding the ship in dry dock, which was important, but people felt like there was so much more that we could have been doing if it weren't for the timing of the ship being in dry dock. But there are at least two stories on September 11th, actually three that I'm counting right now, on connectingvets.com. One of them is what September 11th looked like to the only American veteran who was not on Earth.
Right.
That veteran was an astronaut who was up on, I believe, the International Space Station. And you can see the pictures that they took from up there of the smoke coming from Lower Manhattan as it left from the World Trade Center and the damaged buildings in the area. There's also one about the accounts of the people who work here. Because as we've mentioned many times, ConnectingVets.com is by veterans for veterans. Each and every one of us is either a veteran or someone very closely tied to the veteran community. Military spouses, former military children. You know, they're not children anymore. Right. But I suppose to some extent they will always be a military child.
Some of us are. There are times.
Hey,
in the day.
Most days, I think, if you were to ask my wife. And then another one on an American flag that was found in the wreckage of September 11th that you know, was damaged but certainly survived from there. And if you go to connectingvets.com, you can find out so much great stuff taking place around the veteran community that you otherwise might not know about. Like this Navy chief that we talked to last week, Jeremy Segrist, retired as a Navy chief, Jonathan. Mm-hmm. Now, he'd noodled around on the guitar a little bit in high school, but had never played an instrument, never been in a band or anything like that. Retires from the Navy and goes, you know what? Give this music thing a try.
I want to be in a band.
And he started a band. First, he had to learn how to play music and music, and now they've won Ohio Music Awards. They're based out of Ohio. The Traveling Johnsons is the band, and the chief, Jeremy Segrist. You can find out about him under the careers section of our site. For those of you transitioning and thinking, you know what, I always wanted to be a rock star, but I don't even know how to play the
guitar.
You
don't know how to do it.
Hey, that won't stop you. Another one, John Burke, who we spoke to on the morning briefing, he is a guy who has millions of followers on social media, millions of people checking out his stuff, and has built this social media empire simply by being himself and unapologetically being himself, something that social media allows you to do these days. Before, Jonathan, in our earlier era, if you wanted to be a star, a superstar, you had to kind of tread carefully on what you said and who you might offend, because then advertisers wouldn't be happy with it and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. He's got his own platform now via YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. John Burke, who the headline is, John Burke is too busy building a social media empire to worry about his vet flake detractors. And that will offend some people right there. He his little personal spin on Snowflake, and he talked to us about the fact that he was shocked at how many veterans wanted to take him down, basically, to stop him from having the success that he was having, and how he just doesn't care. And he's going to say what he thinks, and whether you like it or not,
free
he's
speech
going
is free
to say
speech.
It is, absolutely. And boy, these days you look around on the news and it seems quite a few people are forgetting about that. The latest one out at Berkeley, and I hear a lot of vets talking about the colleges, particularly because a lot of us get out and we go to school. I didn't see too much of this, but out at Berkeley, there was a letter released by the school to their credit saying, we are going to let Ben Shapiro speak.
Okay.
Ben Shapiro, conservative commentator, very much pragmatic gentleman. I would say a realist in many ways, but a lot of students didn't want him to speak there. Some of which were calling him a Nazi. Yeah. Funny thing about that, he's a yarmulke-wearing observant Jew who you're calling a Nazi. So maybe,
probably not.
Maybe do your research before throwing names around like that. But you know, it's an interesting period in time, an interesting period for free speech. And people like John Burke are out there saying, hey, this is what it's all about. I fought to defend free speech, and now I'm going to go ahead and take advantage of it. So you can read his story and so many more at ConnectingVets.com. And if you go to ConnectingVets.com and click on the podcast link, you can download his video as well as all videos and all episodes of this show. It's the Morning Briefing here on CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com. Connecting Vets every day. Justin Brown from Hill Vets coming up after the break.
As a military veteran, you know there are things you and fellow vets understand and feel that others may not get.
That's where CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com comes in. Connecting Vets Every Day, a nationwide digital portal connecting military veterans to the information and advice we need to thrive.
Live daily briefings.
Informative and fun.
And all sorts of podcasts by veterans for veterans.
Sponsored by Freedom Mortgage and Harley Davidson.
Welcome back to the Morning Briefing. I'm your host, Eric Dame. Jake Hughes is your producer, and ConnectingVets.com, well, that's your website, and we mean that. Everyone on our team is either a veteran or veteran adjacent. For example, both Jake and I are vets. He did 13 years in the Army, I did 13 in the Navy, and if you combine our experience, we are a 26-year E-12. What's my point? Well, my point is that Jake, myself, and everyone here at ConnectingVets.com have a unique insight into what veterans want to know about because we are veterans. So check out ConnectingVets.com and follow us on social media. We are at ConnectingVets on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. You know who else is a vet? Dave Riley. In fact, Dave is a vet of two different branches. He's also the former National Commander of Disabled American Veterans, and today he's out in Iowa getting ready to take part in a very special golf tournament, the Veterans Tee Tournament. That is a golf tournament for disabled vets, and Dave joins us now live. Dave, thank you so much for calling today.
Good morning.
So, as I mentioned, you served, in fact, in two branches, so tell us a little bit about your service briefly. Where are you from, when did you join, and what did you do while you were in?
Sure. Well, you know, my father was, he retired as a two-star, so it was never any doubt I was going in the military. I started off in the Army, did some tour in Korea, and with the 9th Infantry Division in Fort Lewis. I got out in the early 80s, tried my hand at being a civilian for a while, didn't work out too well, so I went back into the Coast Guard, and Coast Guard was just starting its rescue swimmer program at the time. So I'm rescue swimmer number 12. I did tours in San Francisco, Clearwater, Miami, and when I was in Mobile, that's the Aviation Training Center for the Coast Guard. That's where I lost my limbs. I contracted a bacteria through my sinuses, turned me septic, got gangrene, and lost my limbs in 97. Really the DA was there for me from the start. You know, while I was still flat on my back, they came in and got my service work done and got me rated and everything, and then stepped back. You know, I really didn't have a lot of experience with them until, you know, it took about 8 years for me to develop a pretty severe depression. And they stepped back in and sent me to the Winter Sports Clinic up in Aspen, Colorado, and that's what turned me around.
So sports played a big part in your recovery.
Adaptive sports, yes. You know, for me, it was 8 years of college, and then started my own company. I never really, something was missing, and for me, it was adrenaline. So them kicking me off the top of the mountain gave me that again.
Well, that'll do it. Now, Dave, as you just mentioned, you served twice with a gap in between. So, you know, we talk about transitioning here a lot. So as you mentioned, the first time when you left the Army, transitioning and going to the civilian world didn't work out that well for you. What do you remember most about that time? And what do you wish you had known heading into your leaving the Army the first time that you left the service?
Well, yeah, you know, I had some problems in the early 80s. It was kind of a repression, kind of. There was not a lot of jobs out, especially where I got out in Pennsylvania. So I had a one-year waiting list I had to get on to get back in. And, you know, I did some reserve time, National Guard time, and then went in from there. But I think we're a little bit luckier today in that, you know, DAV has our job initiative. We are having job fairs all around the country, and, you know, people are getting hired right on the spot. So I think that's a great initiative by DAV. You know, and while I'm online, I'd love to thank the VA for this event here, the T tournament. It's such a great event, you know, where, you know, people are turned around just like, similar to the Winter Sports Clinic up in Aspen. You know, we just get a week of camaraderie with fellow vets that have been there, done that already, and can help out, you know, just talking to somebody that is of similar characteristics as you is always helpful, you know.
Absolutely. And we're speaking with Dave Riley. Dave is a quadruple amputee. He is an Army and Coast Guard veteran and the former National Commander of Disabled American Veterans. And we're going to talk about that T tournament coming up here in just a moment, Dave. But first, I wanted to ask you, disabled veterans, as someone who's been very involved in this in the disabled veteran community and a disabled veteran yourself, do disabled veterans need more help in transitioning, or is it just different help that that the disabled vet community needs?
Yeah, I think it's different help, you know, and that's one of the things with our job initiative is there are some of our job fairs that are just for disabled vets. But, you know, it's just getting in with people that have been there and done that, kind of lived it already. I think that's the best thing for a disabled vet is to be around people that have kind of gone through it already and can give some help when needed.
And it seems like that camaraderie between the disabled vet community is something that's certainly on display out in Iowa, where you are right now for the Veterans T tournament. As you mentioned, the VA and DAV working together on this. So tell me a little bit about the history of the Veterans T tournament.
Sure. Well, this is the 24th year of the T tournament this year. It has so many different activities, golf being one of them. And last year I came out, you know, I never had really done any golfing before, and they made a golf club for me, put it in, and I was able to hit the ball before I left. So, you know, that broke over the year, and I got a new attachment this year, which is a little bit more wobbly. I think we're going to have to learn the English on this one, but that's what I'm here for this year.
You know, Dave, that's one of the interesting things when I heard about this tournament, and I knew that we were going to talk to you, and I knew that you were, again, you had lost all of your limbs after your service in the Coast, or during your time in the Coast Guard. How does someone who is a quadruple amputee play golf? How does that work? What are the mechanics?
Well, you know, there's golf pros here, and they have the clinic, and, you know, it's all, they can look at your swing and everything. So what they did with me was able to put a little adapter on the end of the golf club, and I can put it into the wrist, my adaptive wrist, and, you know, that's what was working. But, the dissimilar metals, I think the titanium is a little harder than the metal they were using, so that broke about halfway through the year. But I actually went to my prostheticist, and they ordered a golf attachment this time. So we're going to try to see what we can do about getting that one working real good.
You know, when it comes to the golf or the other sports that you've been able to take part in, was there any trepidation on your part? Any, like, I don't know if I can do this when you think back to when you first started getting involved in sports again? What was that like, and were you worried that you might not be able to succeed?
Oh, there's always worry out there, but you know, sometimes we put limitations on ourselves, and if we're able to release a little bit of the control and let the experts in, many times, you know, the limits that we set are broken real quick. So, you know, I just believe in the program and let the experts kind of help you out, and then you'll be surprised what you can do.
Tell me about some of the golfers that take part in this tournament. I mean, how good are some of the golfers that are out there with the VA and DAV at the Veterans Tee Tournament in Iowa this year?
Well, much better than me. there's some pros out here, and there's some real experts. Majority of the golfers, this being a blind event initially, are blind. But with our partnership, we're bringing in all disabilities. So there's a lot of invisible injuries out there where I'm pretty lucky. I don't know if it's lucky or not, but my injuries are very visible. Where some of the vets out here that have PTSD or some other ailments that are not very visible when you first talk to them, but they have their own struggles that they have to wrestle through, and some of those demons can be fixed while here at the T tournament.
When looking back at your involvement in the T tournament and other athletic events as a disabled veteran yourself, and we're speaking with Dave Riley, former national commander of the DAV and quadruple amputee who served in both the Army and the Coast Guard, looking back at your time involved in the disabled veteran community and the athletics community where those two merge, has there been any one thing that sticks out to you as kind of showing you how amazing and how capable disabled veterans are of still carrying on in some ways that they may have before they were injured?
Oh, sure. It took 8 years for me to develop that pretty severe depression, and just going out to the Winter Sports Clinic the first time, it turned me around. Being able to get exposed to adrenaline again, getting camaraderie, and all the instructors there are trained. That's what really turned me around. But I would talk about recently Adam Greathouse. He came out there. He was wrestling with some of the same demons that I had. And he's doing great things now. I just see it time and time again of people coming out to the clinic and to the T tournament and being turned around and doing great things. So, what I would say to veterans out there is give it a try. It's a worthy event, and there's a lot of good things that happen here.
As you mentioned, the Veterans Tee Tournament started out for blind veterans. Now, as someone who plays very poorly and very rarely golf on occasion, sight is such an important aspect of the game. So that in and of itself kind of shows how impressive this program is and how it can maybe overcome a lot of people's thoughts about what a disabled veteran can and can't do. Do you see things like the Veterans Tee Tournament having an effect outside of the sporting realm?
Oh, yeah. Like I said before, that, we sometimes set our own limitations, and they're not far enough many times. You'd be surprised what the human body can do and what we can adapt to. So just staying with it and trusting the program, you'd be surprised what some of the people here can do. I mean, they outgolf me, and they're blind, which really isn't that much. But, I mean, some of the other people here are really good.
It sounds like a really interesting event and a really interesting group of competitors. Now, it's a tournament. It is a competition. Is it a cutthroat competition, a friendly competition? How would you describe it?
Oh, it's very friendly, I'm sure. There's a lot of cutting up on the golf course and inter-service camaraderie going on there, but it's all in fun, and it really is a good at the end of the week. It's all smiles at the end of the week.
When it comes to getting involved in these athletic programs, whether it's through the VA, through DAV, really, how does it work? How can someone who's a disabled veteran who thinks this sounds good to them, or someone who knows someone they think it might be good for, how do they start getting involved in that community?
Yeah, they can go to t.va.gov. That's for the T tournament. And I believe it's wintersportsclinic.org. For the Winter Sports Clinic, and they're both VA DAV events, and that's one of the things I wanted to say really strongly is thanking the VA for initially starting these events and then allowing us to come on board with them. These are such great events, and we're proud to be a part of it.
And we're speaking with Dave Riley. Dave is the former national commander of the DAV. He is a disabled veteran himself, having lost his limbs while serving in the Coast Guard, which came after a stint in the Army. Now, Dave, you're out there in Iowa at the Veterans Tee Tournament, which is golf-specific. What are some of the other sports that are offered to disabled veterans?
Oh, at the tee tournament here, I think they have a horseback riding, kayaking, fishing, cycling. There's the whole range of activities here, and then also I've brought my wife with me, who is my caregiver, and they have events for the caregivers also while the vet is out golfing or doing whatever activities that they want to do. The caretakers are all taking on trips together, and they have their camaraderie and learn some things about caretaking on those events also, but it's all in really, really good fun.
You know, Dave, we've talked to disabled veterans who are involved in a variety of athletic activities. Rob Jones, a Marine who lost his legs in Afghanistan, who's running a month of marathons later this year, 31 straight days of running a marathon. What do you think the athletic accomplishments and the drive shown by our disabled vets says about them and about the veteran community in general?
Yeah, you know, there's the resilience it takes to continue after a disability, to conquer those self-imposed limitations and to keep going just shows the strength of what is developed in the military. And it's just so great to watch and be a part of. It really makes me proud to be a part of both these events and our 5Ks and some of the other adaptive sports events that DAV does. It really shows great initiative by both VA and DAV, and then the individual veterans that participated are all great people, and I'm proud to know them.
Now, as I've mentioned, Dave, you are the former national commander of DAV, the Disabled American Veterans. If there's a disabled vet out there who hears this, who is perhaps not involved with DAV, maybe thinks that there's a stigma attached to it or something, for whatever reason has decided not to take that step of getting involved with DAV, what would you say to them?
I would say go to DAV.org or follow us on Facebook and just look at what is actually occurring within DAV and even across the country under the VA's leadership. There's just so many programs that you can get involved with, and there's so much payback that you get by just being enrolled and participating in some of these events. You'll be paid back more than you would ever think, by participating and getting involved in these events. You'll be surprised at what you get back.
And one of those events is the Veterans Tee Tournament. To find out more about that, you can go to tee.va.gov. The National Disabled Veterans Tee Tournament is taking place until this Friday out there in Iowa. And we want to thank Dave Riley, former National Commander of DAV and a participant in that tournament, for joining us today. Dave, what do you think your chances are of taking home the gold in the tournament out there this week?
Very low. But thank you. Thank you for having me come on, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Well, we wish you the best, and thank you so much for joining us. You are listening to CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com. Connecting Vets every day.
Helping military veterans stay connected.
We make it easy.
We are CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com. Connecting Vets every day.
Online and all over social media. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter at Connecting Vets.
You know, it's fascinating to me to hear about programs that I didn't know about. Considering what we do for a living here, considering the fact that I am a veteran and someone who served for 13 years, Jonathan Kopanger, our VA reporter, I had no idea until last week that there is a golf tournament, an annual golf tournament that they've been doing for over 20 years. taking place out in Iowa this week.
Yeah.
Just one of those programs from the VA. This is, DAV is involved with it, but it's a VA program that they're doing.
Nice.
This is one of those things that I think people just wouldn't think the VA is involved in, getting disabled veterans out on the golf course, which is, as we just heard from Dave Riley, a great mental health thing.
Mm-hmm.
Can really help you. As he said, he just needed to get that adrenaline again.
Mm-hmm.
Got involved in winter sports. They have a winter sports clinic as well.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much going on at the VA that people just aren't aware of.
Yeah, well, the whole thing with the VA and like the golf thing and the winter sports, if you can get somebody who's gone through a horrible traumatic experience and had limbs removed, and just get them out doing something fun, that's half the battle.
Yeah.
And the VA really has a lot of resources and they push this way.
And Dave telling us his story, you know, getting out of the Army and going to the civilian world and just didn't work out that well for him at that mm-hmm. time. There just weren't a lot of jobs where he was living. So he went into the Coast Guard to become a rescue swimmer.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was in, lost all four of his limbs, mm-hmm. basically got ill, contracted a form of meningitis, I believe it was,
mm-hmm.
ended up losing all four limbs. And as he said, was in a really kind of a dark place.
Yeah.
And it was sports that got him out of
yeah.
it. And as a quadruple amputee, it seems that he didn't think that there was much athletic activity that he'd be able to do. But look at him now, taking part in a golf tournament.
And again, the VA has been dealing with issues like this for so long. They're really good at getting right to the core of what's bothering each individual veteran. And sometimes sports is what you need to get you out of your funk.
And amputations are something that the VA is particularly well-versed in. Listen, amputations happen because of car accidents,
right.
work accidents. However, within the military, you have periods of time, Vietnam with the Bouncing Bettys and all the other mm-hmm. issues that they faced then. Of course, in Korea, when it comes to warfare, amputations are just, there's something that happens on
right.
the field of battle. So we're seeing a large spike again in amputees, people like Rob Jones, as I mentioned him earlier. So the VA is particularly aware of, and I think, would you say that they are kind of the foremost authority on helping people who have lost limbs, and whether it's prosthesis, whether it's programs to help them get literally back on their new feet?
I really do. And several years ago, while I was still working at the VA, I got to go to the medical center here in DC, and they have a little town, or they had, I don't know if they still have it, I should go check. They had a little town built inside the medical center. It's just a little area, but it looked like a little town. And this was specifically to teach amputees how to just manage daily life.
Wow.
Going to the ATM, paying for your groceries, picking up your groceries, just how to deal with certain things that we take for granted every single day. You don't even think about, who thinks about going to the ATM, punching the buttons? If you lose an arm, you need to figure out a better way of doing this.
Right.
And it's really cool how they really break everything down to just a simple thing. And it's all about just giving veterans back the ability to just function normally.
It's fascinating that they've developed that, and it makes sense, particularly for the military community, who, in various ways that we train, do the same thing on simulators.
Yeah.
Like the Buttercup that I went through up in Newport, Rhode Island, is a segment of a ship in a pool, basically, that
yeah.
sinks into the pool, and that's how you learn how to deal with damage control and flooding compartments and things like that. Kind of ingenious to set up a small fake town, a Potemkin village, although it's
right.
not for propaganda purposes, for disabled veterans to kind of get back into the swing of things. It's just a really great idea.
Yeah, I love it. And they have all sorts of little things like this. And as I nose around for different stories at the VA, and even as a former employee, I'm finding out things every day that the VA has that it's like, well, this is a brilliant idea. Why hasn't anyone talked about it before? And it's all about making things better for veterans.
And it's not just tournaments, okay?
Right.
You've got this is the National Disabled Veterans T Tournament. You can find out more about that, t.va.gov. That's T-E-E as in a golf tee, not T-E-A.
I was just thinking a T tournament. That would be kind of fun, actually.
As in the, T-E-A. Jonathan, more interested in the T-E-A tournament than the T-E-E tournament. But this one, golf focus. But they also have, look here, I went to their website. I mm-hmm. went to check that one out because I wanted to see more on it. And then you see something about the National Veterans Summer Sports Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. They're
yeah.
showing a disabled veteran surfing. There's one archery. And this is someone who only has one arm.
Yeah.
Think about that. Think about the
right.
logistics of how do you perform archery? How are you an archer when you only have one arm? Well, you can learn things like that. And it's actually coming up Wow, just next week. We're going to have to talk to them about
that.
Yeah,
definitely.
See if we can get somebody from there. 17th of September to the 22nd out in San Diego, sponsored by the Department of Veterans Affairs, hosted by the VA San Diego Healthcare System. This is so cool. This is stuff that literally I only found out about the T tournament this past week, and now I'm finding out about these other things this morning, real time. You just saw me learn about the Veterans Summer Sports Clinic, and we are not shills for the VA.
Right.
When the VA has problems, and there are many, we can talk about Manchester and other places that we've had issues with. This is a significant issue in the veteran community when the VA has problems, but mm-hmm. it's also significant when they have programs like this that people may not be aware of. So I get kind of excited.
And a lot of these programs come from employees of the VA. They have these great ideas and they work through the VA's incubator and they come up with these great programs that it's just another service for veterans. I was going to ask you, have you ever seen the Wounded Warriors softball team play?
No, I have not.
That's something you need to see, because you go there and you think, okay, these are people who've lost limbs. It's going to be interesting. It's exciting. They're awesome. It's fabulous. And it just shows that as soon as if you lose a limb, you can learn how to just function like you always have.
And for those who aren't into sports, as Jonathan may have just clued you in that he thought it was a tea tournament with like the Rockesson Tea Company. By the way, check out that article on connectingvets.com. There's more that they do. I just found out the 2017 National Veterans Creative Arts Festival. Now, this has already happened. It sounds like there will be another one next year. But you're talking about music. You're talking about art. There's actually a creative arts competition, local, national, just really incredible things that they're doing out there. Things that I'm learning about in real time. That's why I sound so excited about it. Look at this. If you go to the website, va.gov, and most of us have probably been there just to go to things like your benefits and to check out all of that. Start looking around that site. You might find some things that surprise you and
absolutely.
Things that might bring a smile to your face. Hopefully we bring a smile to your face on the morning briefing. We're here 7 to 8:30 Eastern and Pacific, Monday through Friday, powered by CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com. Connecting Vets every day. I'm your host, Eric Dame. For me, Jake Hughes, and our team, see you tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.